Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Radio. We're here this morning. It's game day edition, Fantasy Sports Today. Thank you for joining us. It is week 9. Season just flying by. We don't have any crazy early London games, so happy that we get to ease into it a little bit this morning. In studio with me is Scott Engel. We'll be joined by Jim Day here in a moment as well. But we're happy to be here bringing you all the news from around the league. Obviously, a lot of injury updates, a lot of buys and things like that to keep you apprised of as we continue along throughout the day. So first of all, I'll welcome my compadre, Managing Director of RotoExperts.com. We'll be using his rankings all morning in order to give us a better sense of what these players look like and what their matchups look like in this week. So it is Scott Engel. You can find him on Twitter at ScottyRotoX. Scott, good to be here with you.
Always good to be here. Good to be back in Studio 34 in the flesh with you, my friend.
Thanks, buddy.
Mike Blewett. You know, it's like, and I came prepared for it. You know, I dressed up a little more than
look
I usually
that, like,
do.
So yeah, collared like, shirt.
Tried a little dapper. I didn't wear a sport jacket. You know, but I'm not quite up to your level. You know, when it comes to being GQ.
It's not required. There's no required
no
dress
jacket
here.
Required. Wasn't that a right. Phil Collins album?
It may have been. So I see Scott and Jim always good for a little musical knowledge. So we'll get to your rankings here in a little bit, and also. None other than Taz. You can find Jim Day on Twitter at Fantasy Taz. And Jim, thanks for being here this morning, bud. It's we had a little bit of a race to the start, but it's probably appropriate because it's marathon day here in New York City. I took the train in this morning with many people that were going to run the marathon. Our very own Chrissy Bones Cannon, the producer of the Carton and Friends show, will be running this morning in support of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. That is a foundation that I've supported for over 25 years, so I'm happy to see him. He's supporting the cause. It may be a different foundation, to be honest, but they've raised well over $300,000 in support of that disease. But that was my transition over to you, Jim. What do you got for us today? Any quick nuggets? People expected to play, people not expected to play. You're already sending notes my way.
Yeah, well, I've been up since 5 o'clock, seeing as the hour back threw everybody off, I'm sure, this morning. And, you know, I had a rough commute this morning, too. It took me a really long time to get from my bedroom to my living room to do this show. So, you know, tough commute this morning, but I made it. So we're here. What, Mike?
No. Jim working remotely today. But, yeah, there's a lot of. What is interesting this week? Well, first of all, let me store the buys at you, and then I'll give you a transition, Jim. Cardinals, Bengals, Colts, Jaguars, Giants, Eagles, all on bye. Very big bye week with the 6 teams out. But listen to the DFS guys, the Daily Roto guys on the way in this morning, their Saturday update podcast. And there are a lot of big pieces of news that could shift the way DFS lineups are put together, guys that may or may not be out. So any of those that you feel like you feel pretty good about announcing at this point? I know Stephon Diggs is a big one.
Well, yeah, there's definitely a few. Right now, expected to play today. Cooper Kupp expected back this week. Definitely a boost there. Melvin Gordon is expected to play today. Tyreek Hill is expected to play. Came off the injury list on Friday, so should be good to go. Was definitely worried about that groin injury, but he seems okay. Dalvin Cook seems to be on a snap count again. They got a bye week next week. Doesn't make any sense. Let the guy rest till after the bye week. But here's Minnesota doing what Minnesota's doing all year, you know, bringing this kid out for 10 snaps, hurting him some more, and, you know, making this thing just linger on for the rest of the season. likely inactive today. Stephon Diggs doesn't look good. The team brought up practice squad wide receiver Chad Beebe this week at the end of the week. Not looking good for Diggs to play. Kenny Stills, still not a great chance, but we haven't really heard a full update yet. So he could still play, and he impacts, of course, Devontae Parker. Jakeem Grant is a guy that I know Daily Roto was very high on. If Stills doesn't play, if he does play, then, Jakeem Grant is probably going to take a major hit. No news again on Gronkowski or Sony Michel. Both tough, decisions. Look, this is New England. You never know about New England's injury reports until it actually gets on the field and the inactives come out. Unfortunately, that's a Sunday night game.
Yeah.
If you're planning to play these guys, you have to make sure you have somebody else to go either Sunday night or Monday night to cover you. And try and put those players in the flex. If you're gonna run Sony Michel, try and put him in the flex. If you're gonna run Gronk, maybe put him in the flex. But just gives you more options if either one of those guys doesn't play.
Yeah, I'm in a conundrum with Gronk. I'm in a conundrum with Gronk because Cameron Brate is our backup tight end, and our flexes are way better options than doing something like playing Brate and coming in with Gronk in the flex. So like Latavius Murray is in the flex. I can't make any more changes. Because we're locked out on Sunday mornings. But so I'll have to potentially take a zero with Gronk. So there you go. That's it for those.
Oh, no, there is one more.
Yeah, what's that?
There is one big one. Chris Carson for Seattle is going to be a true game time decision. So, again, another one you're not going to know about until about 2:30 this afternoon. Make sure you have other options. If you have Mike Davis, if Carson is out, Mike Davis becomes a nice play.
Yeah, if you're waking up early and some of your league mates are not, Mike Davis is available in a lot of leagues. And this is why you have to pay attention to what's going on late Saturday night. This broke overnight, basically, for me in Rappaport. And I picked up Mike Davis in about six leagues last night. And even if what they're going to do is they're going to see if Carson can make it through warm-ups with the hip. That's the problem with Chris Carson. As talented as he is, I think he's one of the top backs in the league in yards before contact. And then he continues to break tackles and, move the pile, but he gets hurt a lot. And last time he was out, Mike Davis started and played really well. This team is fifth in the league in rushing. They're going to impose their will regardless. So Mike Davis might be a good play even if Carson is active, especially if you need a bye week fill-in.
Yeah, it's an interesting game. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show, but that's an interesting game to me where the Chargers going to Seattle today. Philip Rivers looking at his 200th consecutive start. So he would join a very short list of guys that have accomplished that. Eli and Favre and Peyton Manning. And there's one other one that I'm missing, but a very short list of guys that have done that. So Jim, with some pretty major injury updates there. Another name that you didn't mention that I think has already been declared out, but they might give him a shot, is Kiki Kuti, which brings into question what does the Houston wide receiver looking core look like with Demaryius Thomas being brand new to the team. Does he contribute in a larger way than might be expected in his first week in Houston playing his former team in the Denver Broncos today?
Is actually out.
So there you go.
He is actually out.
I know they were trying.
As is Geronimo Allison.
Exactly. I saw the Allison news late last night. So I think the theme of the show today, we very often talk about injuries throughout it, but the theme of the show today is there is a lot of, it really is going to impact you with the number of bye weeks and the number of players like this that are in lineups and out of lineups. It's going to impact things like what Scott was saying, maybe going out and grabbing Mike Davis, maybe making sure that some of these secondary and tertiary wide receivers are owned on your teams if you really need help there. So,
yeah, and Daily Roto's talking about it this morning too. Actually yesterday with their Saturday update, you can gain an advantage. Some of these guys with injury situations might be lower owned as, some of the industry may be slower to react to these kind of things.
Absolutely. I was listening to that Saturday update and they were really spending a lot of time trying to figure out, like, the Carolina wide receivers may become a bigger play in DFS this week than you otherwise would expect because they obviously have a good matchup against Tampa. DJ Moore doesn't necessarily excite you as a rookie wide receiver on the week-in, week-out basis, but he might be lower owned than Greg Olsen is, because Greg Olsen has such a big matchup. So when we're talking about these larger tournaments where you're trying to gain a fraction of a point in advantage or leverage, those types of things come up. So
yeah, because everybody has, you know, that is going to have such high exposure to, say, you know, the Rams and the Saints. You know, if you want to pivot off of that game, you, and, you know, especially if you're doing multiple lineups and using the Daily Roto Optimizer, you know, you want to get some exposure to Carolina, maybe with, you know, as Drew Dinkmeyer talks about this morning on DailyRoto.com, with maybe a receiver coming back the other way for Tampa Bay because of the spread. There are three receivers that are relevant, so it gets spread out, and there's going to be lower ownership there.
Yeah, it's I found in building, trying to build cash lineups last night, this morning, I actually found it to be pretty difficult because some of the chalk gym in DFS is very expensive. Todd Gurley's over $11,000 on FanDuel. Cam Newton, which has Carolina with a high implied total of over 30, that was he's $8,600 on FanDuel. And then you have Kareem Hunt, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Adam Thielen, Travis Kelce. Those are all the chalk plays that I just listed off, but they're all very expensive. You can't fit them all in one lineup.
No, absolutely not. And that's, you know, that's how it's supposed to be set up. You shouldn't be able to fit an entire, you know, team of chalk. And, you know, it at this point, especially with six teams on bye, the guys that pick those lower owned players that come out of nowhere and put up big games, those are guys that are going to win the big tournaments today.
Yeah. So real quick note on Thursday night, Raiders are the worst team in football. They cut Bruce Irvin, who only played 9 plays the other night. So that's another transaction that they made. He should be a free agent as of tomorrow, along with Sam Bradford, who was cut by the Cardinals. So there's a few guys that could be out there on waiver wires, veterans that may not be fantasy relevant, but maybe added to a team somewhere along the way. But how about Nick Mullins? Got to give that guy a lot of credit. He played really well. He didn't have to throw the ball all over the yard. He was efficient. I haven't seen a team put a stamp on a game like that in a while, Jim. The Raiders mailed it in. On the Raheem Mostert touchdown run, nobody tried to tackle him. It was really shocking.
Oh, everything
see.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Garcon was wide open. Yeah. I mean, Miami was just, Oakland was just shut down. They like you said, they mailed it in. They weren't there at all. They made this kid look like a superstar in his first start. Had the best ever start for a rookie. Well, not a rookie, but a first start for an NFL quarterback since 1970. He had 3 touchdowns in the first half. Garoppolo, since he's joined San Francisco, hasn't thrown 3 touchdowns in a single game.
Yeah.
It just all came together at the right time for Mullins. He has another cake matchup this week when he goes up against the Giants. What we could be seeing is Garoppolo getting Wally pipped by Nick Mullins.
If Beathard is healthy, Scott, would you still start Nick Mullins if you're Kyle Shanahan?
I think you have to give it another chance. Garoppolo's not going to get Wally pipped from, obviously, joking. What Mullins did was, He took advantage of what the defense gave him. He took what the defense gave him. He didn't try to force things, and he did a nice job of that. Secondly, though, there's no film on that guy at all, you know, coming into that game.
Yeah,
so,
nothing.
You know, how much could you really scout something like that?
And thirdly, though,
here's something dangerous, that fantasy players get into. People automatically wanted to sit Kittle, et cetera. Can't always assume that the backup quarterback is going to be complete and total garbage.
And I actually thought Kittle was the play the other night. I thought it was going to hurt Goodwin badly, but I'm always up for a tight end with a new quarterback scenario. Can use him as a safety valve. A primary amount of the value was that 70-yard catch and run. I get it, but he ended up cashing in big, over 100 yards and a touchdown for Kittle. We'll be right back on FST Game Day Edition.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back on FST, Game Day Edition. We're going to go over the Roto Experts Premium Exclusive Edge Package, the rankings, where you can find Scott's rankings each and every week. He updates them all throughout, pushes them out Sunday morning. It's an up-to-the-minute ranking, and I think this morning it'll probably be right up to 1 o'clock changing some of these rankings because of these game-time decisions, these injury announcements. You know, we couldn't get to everything. We'll try to get to it when we can, but the Dalvin Cook thing is maddening to me. I have one share of Dalvin Cook this year. He's been on the bench basically the whole year, Jim. I know you said it is ridiculous. I just don't understand it. You are staring down the bye. Why is he practicing? Why are you having him out there on a pitch count? All the games are important. I get it. But isn't it more important to have this guy healthy in a few weeks?
Okay, I wasn't sure if you were done.
Yeah, that's you, Jim. Sorry.
you kept giving me those little pauses. I kept wanting to jump in, but not on top of you.
Sorry
about that. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. Like you said, you know, supposedly the rumors, I've been tracking down some of the Minnesota beat writers, and, you know, supposedly it sounds like he thinks he's feeling better now than he has in any of the other weeks. So, you know, if he really is that far along, then, you know, maybe we see something out of him today, gives us a little hope for after the bye. But you're right, in this game with Latavius Murray running so well and doing such a good job, give him one more freaking week off. Don't practice him on damn Wednesday and then limit him on Thursday and Friday and expect him to play 10 to 12 plays. You know, it's just stupid from a coaching standpoint and just not something, you know, I would expect from an NFL coach. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever to trot him out there for 12 plays.
It just reeks of desperation, and it's week 9. I get that you don't want this division to get away from you, but it's not away from you right now. Hypothetical, you lose today to the Lions. The Bears take care of business against the Bills. By the way, spoiler alert, that's my survivor pick today. It's the Bears. So,
well, the news that we've been hearing, though, that he's probably going to be a pitch count if he plays at all. We've heard that before about Dalvin Cook, though.
What is the point of that?
They did exactly what
they said. Here's the thing. We're sitting here and saying, what's the point of that? But we're viewing this from the outside and looking at a report on the internet. They may be, you know, they may be playing coy about this and just letting him go out there and practice with no real intent of letting him play in the game and kind of keeping that behind closed doors and then putting the reports out there. Oh, maybe he'll play on a pitch count when all along they don't intend to play him at all.
Okay, it's a fair point what you said about them being coy regarding game action, but he is practicing and he does have a not 100% hamstring. So that is why. Forget what happens during the game. If they end up not playing him, you know, I'll understand it. But they are practicing him when he doesn't appear to be 100% healthy. Or are you saying this is all a master plan of like, you know, let's have him take some reps. He's probably close to 100%, but we're not going to put him out there until he is 100%. I just don't understand why you would practice if he's not 100%.
Because you're going out there and practice, you know, like we said, it's practice, you know. Maybe he's not getting hit, et cetera. You know, how is he practicing? Is he just going out there, you know, and taking handoffs without getting hit? Does he have a non-contact jersey on? You know, we haven't heard anything of this. There's nothing really wrong with him practicing and kind of ramping it up in terms of getting ready.
Okay. I'm getting emotional, Jim, so we're going to move on to the quarterbacks.
Well, they did say that he did say that they did say that he wasn't in a non-contact jersey. He was still dressed like the rest of the team and practicing. But, you know, one of the good points that was brought up to me this week is, you know, I think what they're trying to do is maybe have Detroit's defense have to account for Cook in their practice sessions and maybe take a little bit away from their time preparing from Murray. But, I mean, are they that different that it really takes that much time to switch from one to the other? I don't think so. So if that's their thinking, I think it's foolish.
All right, well, let's get to the business at hand. We're going to do quarterbacks right now because that is – what we need to do. So let's get to it. So we start at rotoexperts.com. It's the exclusive edge package. Scott Engel's week 9 rankings. Do this every week. So we're going to start it off. No surprise, Pat Mahomes going up against the Cleveland Browns. Right now, the total that game is 52. And the Chiefs are an 8-point favorite, according to Westgate. So, you know, heavily favored, and they're on the road. So clearly, Pat Mahomes comes out with the top projection, the highest scoring team in the league. Aaron Rodgers at number 2, Cam Newton at number 3. Sweet matchup there for Cam. He's going to be the chalkiest play on the main slate for DFS because Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are tonight. But and he's a little less expensive than Pat Mahomes. So Aaron Rodgers 2, Cam Newton 3. Drew Brees at number 4 going up against the Rams. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers had some success last week against the Rams. Scott thinks Drew Brees can duplicate that. Tom Brady at number 5. Jared Goff at number 6. I saw an interesting note last night on Tom Brady's. He's got like 5 incentives that are worth $1 million each. It's like top 5 completion percentage, top 5 touchdown passes, and on and on, and top 5 quarterback rating, whatever it is. There's like 5 stats out there. But he's well off the pace now. He's off the pace now. But he was well off the pace at the beginning of the year. And it just had me thinking, like, I know Brady doesn't need an extra $1 million, but he doesn't not want it, Jim. So he could tear up the league here in these last 2 months and get close to earning some of these $1 million bonuses. It seems unlikely that he would get all 5, but he could pick off 2 or 3 if he plays better these next couple of months.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And we've seen him playing better. He's, like you said, he got off to a rough start, wasn't doing what they expected. His numbers were terrible through the first 4 weeks, and now we've seen him start to rebound. And, heck, this is Tom Brady. You know, he's got Gordon in the mix now. You know, Hogan is doing more than I thought he would. You know, of course, Edelman is huge there. The only thing that we're still not seeing is Gronk being a big part of this offense. He just doesn't look the same. He definitely looks like he's a little beat up. He just looks like he's not running with any kind of power or speed, and that really takes a top off of what he can do for you.
And he is staying in to block a lot more too, Scott. He's not running, in my estimation, when I'm watching the games, he's not running as many routes as he does historically. So whether they're saving him for the long term or this is the end of the road, I'm starting to get the sense that all of that, what some people might call bluster for Gronkowski in the offseason, is real. Like, this might be the end of the road for him. He's going to try and play it out this year, win another ring, and then call quits.
Yeah, but as soon as we say something like that, he's going to go out and have a huge game. You know, that's, we've seen that with Brady before. What was it, two, 3 years ago? He had a bad game on Monday night against the Chiefs, and everybody like, oh, yeah, that's the end of the road for Brady, et cetera. I think he's just playing hurt. This is a guy that, you know, has gotten hurt a lot throughout his career. Injuries could be catching up on him, but you could never speculate anything with the Patriots because they start slow, pick up steam midseason. You know, this is a team built for the long schedule haul.
Yeah.
And, you know, if anything, you know, maybe, you know, we're seeing it down the stretch and in the playoffs, but when I do my lineup rankings, there's still no way I can rank him below 3rd.
I'm with you, yeah. And Brady in the top 5. Here's what I think about the Patriots right now. You hear this a lot. It's almost rote that people like me say it. But they use September as a little bit of a preseason still. They work out some kinks, see what they like. And obviously they had no Edelman this year to work through some of those kinks. But especially defensively, they're still trying to figure things out. They don't even technically have a defensive coordinator, by name at least. But here's what I think. I think they're playing much better. And I think from a gambling standpoint, you should take advantage of the spreads while they're lower. I do concede that there was a 14-point spread against the Bills just recently. But it's the Bills, and that was a very unique scenario where they're starting a guy who wants to be a golfer at quarterback. But here, I think there's a little bit of an Aaron Rodgers bump here for the spread. It's currently sitting at, let me see where it is. The latest is 6. So it's actually gone up. But it was 5.5 and I was looking at it just yesterday. So it's gone up a little bit. But my point to both of you is that I think you should try and take advantage of some of the quote unquote lower spreads with the Patriots before we start to get to double digits, because I think they can blow the roof off of some of these defenses, especially Green Bay, which I'm still not impressed with. They can't really cover anybody, Jim.
Well, actually, they've been doing a better job of late. You know, over the season, Green Bay's passing defense, they're 13th against opposing quarterbacks, but over the last 5 weeks, they've actually been number 4.
Pretty good.
You know, and same thing with their wide receiving defense. They were 17 on the year, but over the last 5 weeks, they're number 9. So they've been playing a little better. Of course, that, you know, San Francisco was in that mix, not too great. Buffalo was in that mix, but you still had Detroit. You had the Rams in there. So they've been playing a little better, but I agree. I don't expect them to stop Tom Brady in any way, shape, or form, especially in New England.
So, Scott, I'll kick it over to you when we keep going through your ranks. You have Jared Goff at number 6. Kirk Cousins at 7, Mitch Trubisky at number 8. What's up, Mitch? Phil Rivers at 9, Russell Wilson at 10. You have those guys playing against each other back to back.
Roethlisberger. Yeah, that game's going to hit the over. I think it's going to be higher scoring than
Chargers.
Expect. Yeah.
Chargers Hawks.
Yeah,
I think that's a really interesting game. I think Corey Parson has it as his spotlight game and for Lineup Lock Live. So we'll hit that one right off the top there, but I do find that to be an interesting game. Ben Roethlisberger at 11. Matt Ryan on the road in Washington at number 12. Jim, I'll pause there. Atlanta's schedule is a little softer here in these last few weeks, but this isn't an easy game to go on the road to play. I just have a, call it a gut feeling, that the Falcons could play well here in Washington. I think Washington is probably the team in the NFL, maybe – that's most under the radar at 5-2. It's one of these 5-2 teams that people are like, yeah, they're not really that great. Like, all right, they're 5-2. At some point, we just have to talk about them being a decent team.
I hate when people do that and say, oh, you know, look at who they played. They start breaking down the schedule. No, this is not college football, okay?
Yeah.
If you want to be, if a team wants to be a good team, they beat who they're supposed to beat. It's like Parcells' record says. Like Parcells said, your record is what it says you are. If you've won 5 games, you've at least made yourself a good team. Nobody's pretending that Washington is elite right here, but you know you have to give them credit for the 5 wins.
Yeah.
You know, people often say that. The average fan will often say, who did they beat, or they only won by this much? You know, it doesn't matter how much you win by, and the opposition is, you know, you play who's playing in front of you, and if you're a good team, you beat who you're supposed to beat.
I mean, they had that bad game against the Colts in week 2. They got blown out by the Saints in week 5 right after their bye week. But that was in New Orleans. But 3-game win streak here, Jim. Carolina, they beat Carolina, they beat Dallas, and they beat New York right in a row. And one of those was a road game. So I guess I'll ask that. Where both of these guys are ranked. Scott has Matt Ryan at 12, Alex Smith at 19. Give me a sense of this game and how you like both of the quarterbacks within it.
Well, you know, Washington's defense early in the season was playing really well. Over the season, they're 15th against opposing quarterbacks. But again, over the last 5 weeks, we've seen a shift. Over the last 5 weeks, they're actually 29th against opposing quarterbacks. So they've been definitely getting thrown on. I mean, Dallas, Giants, Carolina, New Orleans all did a pretty decent job against this Washington defense. Same thing with against wide receivers. They're 20th on the season, but over the last 5 weeks, they're 28th. So they've definitely been getting put on a little bit. I think Atlanta's passing game should have a good game here. I'm not really expecting much out of their running game because Washington's rush defense is number 2 over the last 5 weeks because they've been thrown on so much, and I expect that trend to continue. Besides, Atlanta doesn't really have a great running game at the moment anyway, so I don't expect much there. I expect this to be a game they put up points. The 47.5 points that I have from the site that we use is, you know, to me, a little low. I expect this to go over because I expect both of these teams to be able to throw. Yeah, I expect both of these teams to be able to throw. Alex Smith, man, it's hard to put him up more than 19, even with this great matchup, just because he hasn't done enough. He doesn't have Chris Thompson. He doesn't have Jamison Crowder. There's a very good chance that Washington tries to use a lot of Adrian Peterson to keep Atlanta's offense off the field, and Atlanta's defense has been terrible stopping running backs. Peterson's on a high right now, running well. So I expect that to come together. But, you know, the passing game should definitely be impacted here. There is one player here that I would like to talk about, and that's Mitch Trubisky at number 8. Now, Trubisky has been playing lights out, no doubt about it. This offense is doing what they want to do. Even with that bad win last week, he ends up putting up some solid fantasy numbers for you. But I think this is the week where he comes down a lot. Buffalo, over the last 5 weeks, is number 1 against opposing quarterbacks.
They play well
against
the Pats.
And that's having faced New England, that's four of those teams. Green Bay, Houston, Indianapolis, and New England were in those 5 weeks. The other was Tennessee. I'm not going to count them. But four good offenses, and they're still number 1 in the league. So at home, I think Trubisky is going to have a terrible time today.
Yeah, I can see where Jim's coming from. But, you know, Trubisky's playing at home. I know you talked about Rodgers, et cetera, but, you know, I'm not surprised in the divisional game like they did with Tom Brady. I'm just going contrarian here. I think Buffalo, you know, going on the road with a bad quarterbacking situation, the defense is going to be spending way too much time on the field here. And, you know, Chicago at home as well. I think they're just going to impose their will.
But they're at Buffalo.
What's that?
It's Scott, they're at Buffalo.
Yeah, what I meant was, I said, it doesn't matter whether it's home or on the road, et cetera. You know, I just think Chicago's too good of a team here. And I'm going contrarian with Trubisky here. I'd even consider him a daily play.
So, all right, so let me just rattle off some other guys that he has here in the mid-tier. Deshaun Watson at 13, playing a tougher Denver defense. They're going to pin their ears back. I actually think it could mean big numbers for Watson when – I can see that the Texans offensive line hasn't been that good. I understand they've won five, but they've also won five games in a row, and Watson's played much better, much more efficiently. He loses Will Fuller. He gains Demaryius Thomas. I just think, while if he's able to survive, I think he could put up big numbers because Denver's got a lot of people hurt in the secondary, and I think he's going to pick on them all day. Fitzpatrick at 14, Baker at 15. Baker going up against Pat Mahomes, pretty cool matchup there. I'll get you the stat on the commercial, what the stats that they had the last time they played. You should see how many times Pat Mahomes threw the ball. It's really interesting to look at. Dak Prescott at 16, Matt Stafford at 17, Carr at 18, Smith at 19, Keenum at 20, and Flacco and Osweiler, Darnold, Mariota. Mariota all the way down there is sort of depressing as somebody that has the Titans over. To go back to the Atlanta-Washington thing real quick, I think... To Jim, it sort of dovetails on your point. I personally think that for teams that can score at will can take advantage of Atlanta and their defensive injuries, which are massive. However, with the amount of injuries that Washington has, and you listed a whole bunch of them, I don't know that Alex Smith can keep up with Matt Ryan today. I do expect points, but I think Atlanta comes up.
It's not just about the matchup. I'm seeing a lot of Alex Smith talk. And, you know, you can't just look at the matchup. He's not capable he has of exploiting the matchup.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. All those injuries, I think it's just too much for him. Jordan Reed's a good guy to own today, but everybody else is kind of tough outside of Peterson. Be right back to talk running backs.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I seen your picture. Yeah. Your name in lights above. back on FST. Game day. If you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with pros using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the props builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups and ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. And if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. There's no more dealing with late lineup scratches and no experts to compete against. Just you and the prop that you choose, Jim Day. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up. Choose your matchups using the props builder tool. It's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, let's see. That's Jim Day doing the Taz move. You're getting better at it, I have to say. Your practice is paying off. So
well, he was called the Taz before this, so I think you know you should have a lot of practice, you know, to the point where he's not getting better. You know what I'm saying?
True. Yeah, he's just living up to the very high expectations that have been set. So as far as weather is concerned, I know we like to update people on some of the weather for the week, but I don't think there's anything this week that should scare anybody away from any kinds of conditions.
Some talk about the field conditions with the Miami
Jets
game.
That's right. I just saw that. There is a crazy story about that where there's major field condition issues in Miami for that game. Now, it's not because of the weather. I don't think it's because of the weather at the moment, but maybe previously, and there may have been additional games played on that field. We'll try to get that during the next segment or so, set it up for the top of the hour. But there are significant field condition issues potentially in the Miami game for Miami.
I think
Jets.
Maybe we can take that, though, as we look more into it, though. We talk about guys playing in the snow, et cetera, and usually that's advantage to the offense because the defense will have to react.
True. And yeah. In fact, in the next hour, we're obviously hanging out, keep doing this. And then Sam Garns is going to join myself and Scott, as well as Corey Parson, for Lineup Lock Live. And Sam had a long career in the NFL as defensive back, so he could probably speak to that. And he played for the Jets and he played in Miami, so he may have some insight as to what that will look like as we get a little bit closer to it. I know we've had some field condition issues in the past in Miami. Pittsburgh has always had major field condition issues.
And that's why we have guys like Sam on the show, because, you know, we've never actually played the game and you can actually learn something from those former players. I mean, you know, sometimes when I play on Madden, you know, if it's snowy or rainy, you know, that affects, you know, basically my virtual footing. But, you know, I've never actually played the game.
So after the game last week, Sam and I were hanging out watching the game. It's just a perfect segue into what you were talking about, Scott. Sitting there watching the game with Mike Cardano, it's myself and Sam, and the Steelers just had that safety on the Bengals. And the free kick goes, and the Steelers just let it go. It's really a stupid play, you know, it's all the way around. And I immediately was like, that's a coaching problem. Yes, the players are supposed to know, but it is always incumbent upon the coaches to just make sure everybody knows what's going on. And Cardano is sitting there saying, what are you talking about? The player has to know. I'm like, I get it. He has to know. And then I turn to Sam. Sam goes, it's a coaching problem. He just settled it right there. He's like, that's a coaching issue. Everybody needs to be told, reminded of what goes on. No different than what happened with Ty Montgomery. No different than what happened with the Steelers free kick. It was just a very good piece of insight. Despite the fact that it was off air, it was a good piece of insight.
Yeah, and like, look, we've been trained to do this for a long time. And, you know, we have certain things that we see. We bring the fantasy angle. But, you know, having been at this company like 11 years now, you know, and having worked with like Tiki Barber and Chris Dolman, you know, they can give unique insights. It's like, here's an example. Like when Tiki Barber was with Roto Experts, there was a running back who had a groin injury. And I said, what do you think about that? And he says, look, it's all about what happens in the warm-ups. If he can make it through the warm-ups with a groin injury, he'll be fine. You know, it's not like a hamstring injury or anything like that. So over time, you know, with experience, you know, that's the thing about this business. You never, ever stop learning it and imparting it to our followers, our listeners, et cetera.
Yeah. So good stuff. And we'll have Sam here at 10 a.m. Sorry, the clocks are not set properly, so I'm going to keep throwing the time off. It is currently 8:47, not 9:47, like our studio clock says. So running backs, let's start it from the top. These are the PPR rankings. Again, you find them in Roto Experts Exclusive Edge in-season package. And started off with Todd Gurley. No surprise there. He's the chalk each and every week. He's at New Orleans, and implied his projection isn't quite as high as it was last week, but it is still the highest on the running backs.
Daily position. Roto is projecting him for 40% ownership today.
Yeah. Which is really curious, because when I was building lineups on FanDuel at $11,200, I know you want him in there, but there's...
What's the risk you take? And here's the question you run into daily. Okay, you want to have Gurley because you want to be on the same level as everybody else, but to really win the big money, you have to separate yourself from the pack somehow.
Yeah, but here's what Daily Roto would say, though. And we're going to have Ricky Sanders on at 10:15, so about 90 minutes. You are at an advantage if you play him and he's 40% owned, because 60% of the field doesn't have him. That's what Ricky would say. So you have to, if we have such a strong projection for Gurley, put him in there and just know that you're going to have to get an edge somewhere else. Don't try to be too cute and look for diamonds in the rough all across the slate.
This is why you roll out multiple lineups.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, I make sure I roll out at least three every week, you know, two running through the optimizer with combination of my own knowledge and scouting, and then something that's purely my own.
Yeah, but it really is difficult with him being at 11,200 on FanDuel to build lineups around him. But that being said, the other guys right behind him in Scott's rankings are also thought well of in DFS, and obviously your annual leagues or your seasonal leagues. Jim, Kareem Hunt at number two, Melvin Gordon at number three. There was some thought that Gordon would be a little banged up. We were looking at conceivable game time decision, but it seems to have improved here over the last 40 hours. He's going to play, but maybe just keep an eye on it in case Austin Eckler has to come in there for a higher share of carries.
You might see a little bit more Eckler, but, you know, if Gordon is going to be on the field, you got to play him, of course. And, you know, from what they're saying now, it doesn't look like he's going to be on any kind of a snap count or, you know, anything like that. They're expecting a full go out of Gordon. So I wouldn't play Eckler thinking that Gordon doesn't go the whole game. But if you have to play Eckler, he should have, you know, enough chances to be viable.
Eckler.
C. Kelly at number four.
My little Eckler.
Every time I say the name, that's what I hear in the back of my damn head.
Same with me.
Thanks, Scott.
That's what I'm trying to move past it. Alvin Kamara at number five. James Conner at six. Conner in a tougher matchup, but obviously he receives the requisite amount of touches each and every week. Chris McCaffrey at seven. I could see him finishing higher than that.
One thing about Conner, sorry to interrupt you. Everybody's looking at the matchup, but James Conner right now to me is matchup proof from a fantasy perspective. He actually leads the league in broken tackles right now. I don't care who James Conner plays against.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the last time he played against them, they shut him down completely.
Yeah, so.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not totally disagreeing with you.
That was last time, I know. And, you know, probably the Pittsburgh coaching staff is going to go back and watch the film. You know, because you watch the NFL, when something happens the last time, it doesn't always happen the next time because it's. You know,
why I'm saying I'm not totally disagreeing.
Yeah.
I'm just pointing it out.
He had 12 touches last time out for a grand total of 44 yards. No scores against the Ravens. I do think that the Steelers are playing much better and the Ravens are playing worse. This is always a throw out the records kind of matchup when the Steelers play the Ravens, but you can see the Steelers offense playing better, much more efficiently. Brown is in the mix more often. Conner is seeing touches on both sides of the running back position, catching and running the ball, obviously. While I do trust that the Ravens will be all right, this is a funky game today for the Ravens. They're missing both offensive tackles. I think Flacco could be under heat a lot, and the Steelers might have an opportunity to control the ball here,
Scott. That makes them a good defensive play. And the other interesting thing about Roethlisberger, we always talk about the home-road splits and, you know, Ben says it doesn't matter, you know, as long as the field is on earth, you know, it doesn't matter to me. But he's got a 70.9 QB rating at Baltimore on the road throughout his career. So, you know, this might be a game where you're taking the under.
Yeah, it matters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it matters.
So keep James White comes in at number eight on Scott's rankings against Green Bay. Nick Chubb, a pretty popular DFS play today because he's far too cheap on DraftKings in particular, only 4,700, where he's 6,600 on FanDuel. It's a pretty large spread, but he's certainly not priced accordingly. Adrian Peterson comes in at number 10. We had Marshall Faulk here last week, and he just got to talking about Adrian Peterson. He was just shaking his head because there isn't really an explanation for it.
The explanation is
to be like this.
Every time you say that Adrian Peterson can't do this, you know, he puts in his mental locker. And we remember when he said, oh, nobody can come back from a knee injury like that. He rushed for 2,000 yards. You know, it used to annoy me, this old axiom that we had in fantasy football. Oh, when a running back hits age 30, he's going to decline. You know, and this guy, when he had four out of five, the first six 95-yard games, became just the third running back in NFL history to do that over age 33. Look, he doesn't run with the same authority and power that he used to, but that's 75% of Adrian Peterson, which is still better than a lot of other running backs. He defies expectations. You can't look at running backs at their age necessarily. You know, a lot of times it's workload.
It's amazing that he still wants to do it.
Chris Dolman told me a few years ago, like about when he went to New Orleans, just before he went to New Orleans, he said Adrian's not finished because he wants to add something to his legacy, add something to his resume, because he wants to make sure that he fully punches his ticket to the Hall of Fame.
It's done. It's already done.
Yeah,
yeah, he's, really.
He's so he may done. Not win a Super Bowl, but you know he wants to add more to his resume. He wants a football life to be 2 hours, not one.
Look, I mean, there are a rare breed of guys that like don't want to that want to keep going. Like you could say, what is Tom Brady? Like, why is he still out there? What he has zero.
How
to
about
prove
Frank Gore? Anybody.
Frank Gore. It's a great point.
Tom Brady's amazing. He's like Nolan Ryan in a football helmet.
Yeah, I mean, he's better than Nolan Ryan comparatively.
He's a
better quarterback than Nolan Ryan was a pitcher. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, Nolan Ryan was one of the greats.
He is.
Tom Brady, obviously.
Yeah, but Tom Brady never killed a bird.
That was Randy Johnson.
Yeah, but Nolan Ryan, never deflated a baseball.
Yeah, there you go.
Here we go. Now we're devolving. Let's just get back to the running backs.
No, wait. Real quick. Yes, Peterson today, just last, Chris Thompson's out. Capri Bibbs is also questionable.
Yes,
may not
point.
Play. You know, I'm not really worried about Perrine coming in, stepping in. We should see Adrian Peterson full go all day and involved in the passing game, too. So you got to love him today. Scott's top 12, or you know, outside of maybe having Connor just a little bit further down for me, his top 12 are like right there.
And Capri Bibbs has his shoulder. And look, I don't know anything for sure, but it looking like he's going to play. And Capri Bibbs is a really, really sneaky play in PPR today, because you're talking about a defense that gives up 30 points to opposing running backs each week and is very vulnerable in the passing game. Capri Bibbs, I have him in some of my lineups, you know, because of bye weeks. And if Capri Bibbs doesn't play, they've activated Byron Marshall. That could be a very, very sneaky punt, you know, you're talking for daily, because Adrian Peterson, never going to be involved in the passing game. It's just not who he is.
He's only got
They're
going to
have some running backs catching passes, especially with the depleted receiving crew. I love Capri Bibbs as a sneaky, nifty play today.
So Peterson
seasonal
only nine
or
catches.
DFS.
Only nine catches through the seven games.
See,
he had a 52-yard catch.
The
so
problem
puts
there
the numbers
is,
up. Go ahead.
Sorry, Mike. The problem there is if he's got a shoulder injury and he's questionable to this point, how much is that shoulder injury going to affect his being able to catch the football?
Well, that's the thing we don't know.
I understand
every player,
what you're trying to say. Yeah.
Every player has different pain tolerance. So, you know, you have to give it, especially if it's daily, you know, you have to give it a gamble there.
It is a risk. Yeah. So, to Scott's point, he would be the pivot to Chris Thompson being out. He'd be the pivot in the passing game because they're not utilizing AP that way. So keep going. He had Tariq Cohen at number 11, Phillip Lindsay at 12. Lat Murray comes in at number 13. I'm using Lat Murray today, certainly in the lineups where I have him. Mark Ingram at number 14, a little bit of a tougher matchup. A note on Mark Ingram, he's only $5,000 on DraftKings. So I think the Daily Roto podcast would tell you that if you're going to use Ingram in a lineup, you maybe use him solo. You don't use him in a Saints or Rams stack. Or rather, if you can use a Rams stack with Ingram coming back the other way, does that make sense? So you could have a Goff,
Woods,
Ingram.
Well, Kamara 71% of the snaps last week.
I get it.
Yeah, maybe you come back with it like Daily Roto talks about. Come back with a receiver coming the other way. Traquan Smith.
Yes, Traquan Smith is a very popular. Yeah. Is becoming a more highly owned pivot in tournaments this week. I think his ownership could be around 15% or so. Lamar Miller at 15, Kerryon Johnson at 16. I had a lot of Kerryon Johnson questions this week. Kenyon Drake at 17, Isaiah Crowell at 18, Jordan Howard 19, LeSean McCoy 20, Tevin Coleman, Sony Michel, Jalen Richard, Alex Collins fill out the RB2s. Jim, I'm going to throw Isaiah Crowell to you at 18. Elijah McGuire looks to be back, but we obviously have no idea what his snap count will look like, nor do we have Crowell's because Elijah McGuire's back, but Trenton Cannon has really been nothing there. What do you think of Isaiah Crowell in this matchup? We do have to find out about this field condition now. That could actually impact it, but thoughts in general about Isaiah Crowell?
Well, look, it's a perfect matchup for him. You know, Miami's defense has been terrible against the run all year. 31st over the last 5 weeks, so they definitely get run on. You know, they've allowed 41 passes to running backs as well, so that might play into McGuire's field here. Look, we have no idea what McGuire is going to see today, but they did like him preseason as being the guy in front of Bilal Powell. He had a full week of practice, so he might be ready to go. Talk about a guy who's a sneaky play in the DFS lineup. I think he is in a big GPP. He might be a guy that comes up with 4 or 5 catches in this game and gets you to that point where he's definitely returning value. But Crowell, I mean, I love this matchup for him. I do, but it's so hard to know what you get out of him. He doesn't seem to be matchup-oriented. He goes up against great matchups, does nothing. He goes up against bad matchups and puts up monster numbers. There's no way to know. This should be a game where Crowell eats. I just don't know if I can trust him.
I loved Isaiah Crowell
Nobody
going into the season.
Ezekiel Elliott.
I loved Isaiah Crowell coming into the season. And exactly to your point, I had him benched during that Denver game, so I had never known when to play the guy. And he's just sitting there, and I don't know what to do with him. We'll come back with hour number 2 on FST right after this.